Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace, and for those of you watching us on Facebook Live, welcome to you. And let me start our time with opening up in prayer. So, Father, I just thank you for our time today. I thank you for us being able to gather. God, I just pray for your Spirit to just come and to just fill this place with your presence, God. Lord, I pray that as we talk, I pray for your Spirit to just move through the room, Father, and just touch our hearts, touch our ears, God. Just help us to see the things we need to see, that we would have an encounter with you today. And I pray this not only for us here in this room, but I pray for those watching on Facebook, Father, for those that will listen to this later on the webpage. Lord, I thank you that you are not limited by location. You're not limited by technology, that you can move through the airwaves. You can move through a recording. You are limitless in what you can do. And so I pray that in however people listen to this today, I pray that they would be touched and impacted, as only you can do it. God, I want to lift up Sally's Uncle Peter to you, Father. I just pray that you would bring healing to his body, that you would heal his limbs, Father, his legs, his feet. Lord, I just pray for total and complete healing. And I thank you also, God, that we can pray for Peter right here. He doesn't have to be in the room. And you will hear our prayer, and you can touch his body where he is. And so, Father, we just pray that you would touch him and bring healing to his body. I pray that you would just minister and comfort to Sally and to her family who are concerned about him and love him. Lord, just help them in this time as they see him suffer. But I pray, Father, that suffering will be over today, that you would touch him and heal him. God, I pray for everybody listening to this today who has people that are suffering, people that are hurting, people that are grieving. God, I pray that you would just be who you are, be that God of comfort, and that you would come and just touch people, whether they need the healing in their body or they need a healing in their heart and mind from grief. God, I pray that you would just bring that healing. You would bring that comfort. You would bring that relief. And I thank you, Lord, that you can do that. I thank you that you do indeed do that. And we just give you glory. Because you are not only God Almighty, you are God the Comforter. You are God the Restorer. And we just give you glory. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, I want to continue on the topic of spiritual sensitivity. Now, let me, for those of you that may not have been here last week or haven't listened to the recording, let me give a brief recap of what I said last week to kind of bring us all kind of up to speed here. So I said last week that I feel that this needs to be talked about now because of the state of the world that we're in, and that as we reopen, as we restart, as we're rebuilding here at Community of Grace, it is so important to understand what we're feeling because it may help us. It may help us in how we minister. It may help us as we engage the Spirit of God. And as we do all of this, what I'm talking about today is another avenue of doing that. It's another avenue of engaging God to deal with what we're feeling, and therefore it is helpful to be able to see how much of what we feel is actually us and how much of what we're feeling is not us. And to identify what we're feeling and what do we do about that. And this will also help us in knowing how to pray. And I'm speaking to you about this as a spiritually sensitive person and in speaking to others who are spiritually sensitive. See, I believe that every believer is spiritually sensitive. But when I talk about being spiritually sensitive, I'm referring to it as being able to know or understand something about what is going on inside of another person or inside of other people. It's kind of like a word of knowledge, to where we spiritually pick up on another person or persons, but in a sensory way, in that we feel what the other feels. And the goal of this is to feel what another feels, and then we take what we feel to Jesus, and we pray for that other party based on how we feel. Feeling it enables us to pray with more feeling or passion. with a greater understanding because we're feeling it too. It is also God's invitation to the one picking up on the other to pray, indicating that God wants that person to pray because God wants to touch and help or heal that other party. And so he's inviting the other person, feeling it, to be in on what he wants to do by using them to pray as he's directing from how that person is feeling and praying. Now, another term for this, as we talked about last time, is burden bearing, which means God uses someone to bear or carry the burden of another, again, for the purpose of praying. Now, not everyone is a burden bearer. And if you are not, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It just means that God will use you in another way. We then talked about things that may help us to determine if we are a burden bearer from various things that people who have this may be experiencing. And in talking about this, we're looking at those who have a highly sensitive nervous system, which is core to your burden bearing and sensing the heart of God to pick up and pray for others. It doesn't always feel good, but it is a good thing. And there's nothing wrong with you. It's that something is very right with you and highly functioning in you. The purpose for burden bearing is to take that burden to the cross for the other person because they may be having a problem in doing that for themselves or to join with them in doing that. So our job is to take it to the cross. It's not to carry it around for a while or to carry it around indefinitely. And if we hang on to it, it will stay with us until we lay it at the feet of Jesus. If we hang on to it, it's only going to drag us down, especially if I'm still picking up on new burdens besides. Then I have one burden on top of another on top of another. And that weight of those burdens gets heavier and heavier and can drag down the burden bearer. And so one of the reasons for covering this now is so that for those of you who I am describing and talking about this, one of the challenges is that we can pick up on the sorrows and the anger and the fears of others. And if we don't realize what's really going on, then we might think it's our own feelings when they're really not mine. Instead, I'm picking up on other people, but because I think it's mine, instead of praying, I endure it. I try to manage it, and therefore I do not pray it off. One of the things that has been so strong over these last 13 months has been the fear that is in our world. And that fear is still out there. In fact, the fear that is out there is tremendously high right now. Some days it's stronger than others, but it is in the atmosphere and it has permeated our world. But for burden bearers, we're feeling the fear. We're feeling the fear of our area and we're feeling the fear that is going on outside of our area, beyond our area. And we can assume it's us, and it's not us. But because I think it's mine, I claim it, I own it, and I live in it, when it's really not who I am. I may really not be a fearful person, but I'm picking up on fear. And my mistake is, I pick up on it, and I think it's me, and it's not. I'm just picking up on it. And I don't pray, and I don't leave these things at the foot of the cross, and therefore I am now weighed down by it. And those I'm picking up on do not experience the freedom either because I'm not praying. I can get so loaded down that I become the victim of the very burden that I bear. And I can also open myself up for a demonic attack with that. And so it is important to know who I am and what's going on with me. And if I don't understand what's going on with me, and may not be able to distinguish what is me and what is the burden that I'm bearing, I can therefore assume that it's all me when it's not. And therefore try to shut off the feelings that I'm feeling in order to feel better. And in doing that, I shut God off because in burden bearing, He speaks through what we're feeling. The burden some of you may be picking up on is not just your city. Some of you may be feeling the rest of the world. Because we are in an unprecedented time. God is moving with what's going on with all of this. I mean, He's moving through the entire world. doing what he's doing at the same time. And God has blessed you and given you something to help the world in knowing how to pray from what you're feeling. And your burden bearing is God saying, you are feeling so you can pray. And you and therefore God will hear and God will act on your prayer. So your burden is an invitation from God to partner with him in his work. And if you're picking up on the world, you are partnering with him in what he's doing in the world. That's tremendous. Now, we also talked last time about people with the gift of mercy. And mercy people are feelers anyway. And we talked about those who are mercy people, who are burden bearers, and how some may be putting a wall up to protect themselves from what they're feeling, because what they're feeling may be so strong and may be so intense, and therefore they're feeling that. And some may have a hard time being able to tell if what they're feeling is what they're picking up around them, and how much is what they're picking up may just be their own feelings. And so they may have a hard time seeing or separating one from the other. And if some mercy people have unresolved issues or hurts, they may project those onto the burden that they're picking up on, and therefore they may incorrectly interpret or read things from that. And we talked last time also about the prophetic. Prophetic people who God gives a prophetic word to, and getting a prophetic word doesn't mean they're a burden bearer. You know, they may get prophetic words on people, but that's not the same as being a burden bearer. But then again, God may give them things prophetically, may give them this prophetically also. Burden bearing can work like a word of knowledge in that a person spiritually receives a supernatural revelation on how to pray for someone that is based on how they're feeling. And the prophetic can also operate that way. A prophetic person can get a feeling in their body prophetically and know how to pray. And so, but the thing about it is it all comes down to how God chooses to do these things. We're not choosing how God does this. God is choosing to use us and how he uses us. And so these are some of the things that I talked about last time. And so if you want to know more about this, or you want to have more detail on what I talked about last week, I would encourage you to go to our webpage at www.icgrace.org. Once you get there, you go to the media page, you click on sermons, and you pull up the message for May 9th. And listen to that, and you'll have more detail on these things that I talked about. But today, I want to continue to talk about how we as spiritually sensitive people might react to our sensitivity and react out of our sensitivity. One of the challenges in bearing what we're feeling can be our boundaries, which is when and how to act and respond out of our sensitivities. Now remember, as spiritually sensitive people, our job is to pray. And that's the role of a burden bearer, is to pray based on what we're feeling. If we do anything outside of praying about the feelings that we're picking up on for others, we may be stepping away from what we are to do as a burden bearer. For example, I can choose to seek out that person that I'm feeling things on and talk to them to maybe get more information about what I'm picking up on from them. But the thing about it is, getting more information isn't going to heal them. Praying for them is. Those other things may not be bad things to do, but they may not make the burden go away for either that person or for me who's carrying it. So we need to discuss a few things, and we need to talk about setting boundaries. But first, we need to define what a boundary is. So think of a boundary as an imaginary fence around yourself. And that fence line defines what is you and what is not you. It defines what is yours and what is not yours. And what is your responsibility and what is not your responsibility. Think of the fence around your house, for example, around your yard. What is within that fence line is yours, and therefore is your responsibility. And the things and people that are outside of your fence line are not your responsibility. And they're either their responsibility or they're someone else's responsibility. Now, ask yourself this question. How do I feel, or how do you feel, when someone comes into your yard and helps themselves to the things in your yard? Now, if you don't like it when that happens, then you need to not do to others and their yards the same thing. Now, if your fence line has a gate for people to come in and out of, when there are healthy boundaries in your relationships, then others know where the gate to your yard is. And they know that that's the way into your yard. And they know who can come in and who cannot. And those who have permission to come in know what they do and do not have permission to do. Now, this is also there's also a level of responsibility on the part of those whose fence it is. In other words, that they need to communicate to others about how to enter the yard, who can come into the yard, and how much those who come into the yard have permission to do and where they can go. But just like with an actual fence line of a house, a boundary gives the ability to set a distance and a limit with others, to establish what is permitted with and who. Now, there are two types of boundaries. So the first one is physical or external boundaries. To what degree I let others in? What others can and cannot touch? Where they can and cannot go with me? In healthy relationships, if I want to reset the boundary line with someone, whether it is to extend that fence line out or it is to move it closer in with others, I need to communicate that with others, that I am adjusting the line so that they know. You can't assume with boundaries that others automatically know some, you know, that they automatically don't know. You know, some are better at letting other people know about their boundaries than others, but they're not going to know about our boundaries if we don't let them know that we have them. We can't assume. Now, some come into other people's yards without permission. They may mean well in doing that, but if they don't have permission, they're still trespassing. Some don't say anything to the trespassers, but they don't like the trespassers being there. But they have a hard time saying anything about it, and so they just kind of endure it, but they don't like it. And this can create resentment on those whose fence line has been violated because their boundary line has not been respected. And this can create confusion and cause the one who trespassed to be in a place of uncertainty or feel unsafe with whose fence they crossed because it wasn't communicated to them. If I don't communicate, I'm left with questions, I'm left with uncertainty, and I don't feel safe. Let me kind of give you an example of what I'm talking about here. So this is like many years ago, many, many years ago. And we were having services on a particular Sunday. And back then I wasn't the pastor. I was on staff, but I wasn't the pastor. And our pastor had gotten done speaking and the message really touched me. And so when the sermon was over, I needed to come up to the steps up here in front and pray. And so I'm up here kneeling at the steps up here praying. And it was just I wanted to get with God and I wanted to pray about what I had heard and how it had impacted me. And there was somebody out in the audience who was a friend of mine and they cared about me. And they saw me go up to the front, they saw me up here praying, and they felt that they needed to rush up here. They swooped on top of me, you know, wrapped their arms around me, and they start praying this prayer over me. It didn't help me. I wanted to get up here and just pray with God by myself. Now, this person could have stood back from a distance and extended their hand toward me and prayed silently, and that would have been fine. But when they came and pounced on me, wrapped their arms around me, and started yelling out this prayer, all they did was distract me. It irritated me. It didn't help me at all. I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. I wanted to be just up here praying me and God about what was on my heart. They had a good intention because they cared about me, and I understand that. But the thing about it was what they thought was going to help me didn't help me. So putting this in terms of fence lines and boundaries, they hopped my gate and got into my yard. They trespassed on me because they didn't have my permission and they didn't check with me. Now, the other type of boundary, because you have first you have the external boundary. The second type of boundary is an internal boundary. And this deals with our thoughts and our feelings and our behaviors. You know, our boundary marker, our fence line, is the responsibility that here that I take with my thoughts and my feelings and my behaviors. And there are two parts to this internal fence line. One is, what is my responsibility? And the other one is, what is not my responsibility? Or, what is someone else's responsibility? See, the problem is, if I don't know or understand what is and is not my responsibility, if I can take on thoughts and feelings that are not mine if I don't know what my responsibility is. And this can result in my behaviors being either inappropriate or not appreciated because I'm doing things or acting out of things that aren't mine to begin with. And as a result, I take these things on and I act out of them. See, our actions start with our thoughts and our feelings. That's where our actions start. And so if my thoughts and feelings are not where they should be, my actions may not be where they need to be either. And others can put their thoughts and their feelings on me. I mean, people do this all the time. People will put their thoughts and their feelings on another. And this can result in feelings toward another that they don't like and they don't appreciate from the thoughts and the feelings of others. And people will either let this happen to them or they won't let it happen to them. Now, when I talk about responsibility or our responsibility, what I mean is, what is our job? What is our actual role? What is the thing that is really our actual thing to do? Meaning it's for me to do when we talk about responsibility. So, what causes boundaries to be violated? Well, one of the things that causes them to be violated is a lack of communication. And so, what causes a lack of communication? Well, one of the things that can cause a lack of communication can perhaps be fear. You know, how will others feel about me if there's not been a boundary before and all of a sudden I establish one with them? And therefore, how will they treat me and how will they see me in the future if they don't like this boundary line that I put up? Or maybe I set boundaries in the past and things didn't go well the last time I did this, and so my fear is that if I do this again, something bad is going to happen again. And so, therefore, I don't set boundaries. But if I don't set boundaries and I'm violated over and over again, but I don't say anything, then my offense can build to the point where I am so hurt and I'm so angered that my response will eventually be quite strong. And others might get hurt. Or maybe I don't know how to set boundaries because I was never shown, because the people that have been in my life around me, they never had them either. And so I was never shown or taught about this. And as a result, people are being violated and people are being upset and no one knows because people keep it hidden and nobody says anything. But the thing about it is this. People may not be saying anything and people may be enduring, but it doesn't mean that hurt and that offense isn't there. It just means it's under the surface. Things that are under the surface, if they let go long enough, if they built up enough, will not stay under the surface for very long. But that's what we want to avoid. Now, another reason for violated boundaries is irresistible urges. These are one's desires to do something or see something happen. And they are done by one in that they have a hard time controlling themselves from doing it or not doing it. Now, they may mean well, but there is some lack of self-discipline there. And again, you know, going to my example of the person that pounced on me when I was praying. You know, they had an irresistible urge to do something. But another reason for irresistible urges is the desire to control, which is, I want this for others, regardless of, is it really the best for them, or is it really my place to do it? Or it could also be, I really don't want this as much for those other people. If I'm really honest, I'm really doing it for me. Now, some people don't see this because they don't understand themselves, or they don't really know or understand the other people. Some, however, do know, and they do see this, and they do it anyway because it's really about them. And some may not see that it's really about them. All they know is, if you ask them, you know, what were you feeling before you did that? They would say, well, I just felt like I had to do this. This thing had to happen. Let me give you a biblical example of this. Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. So here, Jesus is talking about his upcoming death. He's talking about his resurrection. And remember, this is part of the reason for Jesus coming to earth in the first place, was to die for our sin. But in doing his ministry, he selects and takes along disciples. And these disciples are traveling around with him. They're all traveling around together. You know, they're all learning together. They're ministering together. But also a relationship is developing here with Jesus and his disciples as they're doing all of this. And the disciples develop this idea about Jesus and about who Jesus is. Now, the disciples' misconception of the Messiah is that he can't die. Not that he is unable to die. It's not that, no, you can't do that. You're supposed to liberate us from Rome. You can't liberate us from Rome and die. You can't. And the thing about it is, if he's going to liberate them from Rome, then these guys are all going to be part of his new regime. But the other thing is that they loved having him around. You know, these guys were having the adventure of their life traveling around with Jesus. And they loved him. And they had walked away from their former lives to go with him. So the talk of him dying is like, oh no, you can't do this. This messes with everything I'm thinking. This messes up my plan. How I think this is going to go. And so Peter gives this strong rebuke to Jesus. He strongly opposes what Jesus is talking about here. And he says, Jesus, you can't do this. You can't die. This can't happen to you. See, here Peter is not seeing. He's not thinking about Jesus' being there was really all about. He wanted what he had with Jesus to go on forever. For Peter, it wasn't about saving the world in this moment. In this moment, it was about what Peter wanted, which is just like the devil. It's all about It was all about what he wanted. It wasn't about God's plan. It wasn't about God's will. It was all about what he wanted. And so Peter, he interpreted everything based on where he was, he now rebukes Jesus. Or in other words, he rebukes God in an attempt to control what he did not like hearing. But in doing that, he was also trying to save Jesus from being killed, because again, he did love Jesus, but he didn't understand what was going on. But he didn't understand the part of why Jesus came was to die. He came to save us. And sometimes in violating boundaries and taking responsibilities that are not ours, and even controlling people and situations, we try to save other people, and sometimes we can't. Sometimes we're not supposed to. Sometimes saving others deprives them of an experience that they need to have for their growth and their healing, and if we save them, then we're not really helping them. Let me give you an example. This is an example that as soon as I start to talk about it, you're going to go, oh yeah, I've heard about this. It's the example of the butterfly. When it's in its cocoon and it's transforming from a caterpillar to a butterfly, they have to work their way out of that cocoon. They have to fight to do that, because the fight causes the necessary fluids to flow out of their body and into their wings. This strengthens them so they could fly. If someone comes along and sees this cocoon and this process going on, they may say, oh, look at that little butterfly there. I want to help him. And so they may cut that cocoon open or break that cocoon open so that he can easily get out. But in what they're doing doesn't actually help that butterfly. In reality, it signs the death warrant of that butterfly. If they help it to avoid its struggle, their wings don't fully develop and they won't be able to fly, because fluids in their body are now not only not flowing to the wings to help their wings open and spread out, that happens as they struggle. Those fluids also therefore remain in their body, leaving that body bloated and swollen, and therefore it never shrinks down to that sleek body that they need to have to fly. And it's therefore now dragging itself along, unable to fly, and it eventually dies. In Jesus' case, to save Jesus meant to condemn the world. And Peter did not see that, or he lost sight of that. In burden bearing, we need to know ourselves. And we can't set boundaries with others if we don't know ourselves. Which means that we need to look inward. We need to look honestly at ourselves, and we need to look honestly at ourselves with God and see what is really inside of us. And we need to look at all of it honestly. And it needs to be lining up with Him, because God needs to be our standard of measure. When we know who we are, then we can set our internal and external boundaries. And part of what helps in this is communicating with other people. You know, our relationships with one another serve as a mirror for us. As we communicate and set our fence lines and build our gates and communicate and adjust our fence lines, we learn about others and we learn about ourselves. In a healthy family, there is communication and loving concern for one another. And this can develop, and as we communicate and learn and adjust, we learn about others, we learn about ourselves. And we learn about ourselves as we learn about others. And as this happens, things get confronted in us. Things like our fears, for example. But, you know, fear, being confronted in a healthy family or in healthy relationships is okay, because in a healthy family, in healthy relationships, there is love and acceptance. And there should not be judgment and rejection. And we find in a healthy family when we confront our fears, we find that we really had nothing to be afraid of at all. See, people fear what they don't understand. Peter feared because he didn't fully understand. If he did, he would have responded differently to Jesus. It says in Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" This follows those verses I just read. Peter needed to deny himself, which is to put others before self, to put the things of the kingdom of God first before himself, to put Jesus first over his wants and his will. To deny self is to put God's interests before our own. Taking up our cross is to deny ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 39, he says, "And he went up a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.'" This was part of Jesus' prayer in the garden before the arrest. The cup was what Jesus would be facing while on that cross, which was taking on our sin. Now, him being one with the Father and then taking on our sin is what creates that separation, that barrier between us and God. So here he has, all he's known is being one with the Father, and all of a sudden he's going to take on the sins of the world that create that separation. But he had to take that separation on so that it would die with him. Now the reality is, when he took that sin on, he was never separated from the Father, but he felt that separation. He felt it, but he was still connected with the Father. But he took that to the cross, and he died for that. And when he died, our sins died with him. And that was the Father's will, that our sins be paid for so that we can have unhindered access with him, so that we can have relationship with him. And Jesus said, "I will submit to this because this is what you want, Father. This is what you desire. And guess what? So do I." Because both God and Jesus love all of us. And this is the heart of burden bearing. Suffering with another so that they can be free. So we need to know us. So we can know what is in us and what is not in us in burden bearing. And we can't know what is our responsibility if we don't know ourselves. And once we know us, then we know what is not us. You know how you tell a counterfeit? You know what's real. When you know what's real, you know what's counterfeit. When you know yourself, you know what's not you. And you also know what is not your responsibility. When we know ourselves, we know what's in us. And we know what gets in the way of helping others and relating to others and ministering to others. Like fear or our desires. And these we nail to the cross. And we just don't nail it to the cross for us. We nail it to the cross for those whose burdens we bear. So we can discern what is us and what is the burden of another that we need to be praying for. And do what is my part. And let other people do their part. And we do this for their sake. As burden bearers, we need to know ourselves. You know, and what we're carrying around inside of us. And what we're working on in us to help us in our being a burden bearer. And if we don't, it'll be harder to identify what is our burden that we're bearing and what we're carrying around that we really don't need to be carrying around that adds to our load as a burden bearer. Now, for some, God may use the burden bearing to not only have you pray for another, but also to address things inside yourself. And God does this. As God has us do one thing, He's also using that thing that He has us doing to do something else in us. And He may do that this way because it wouldn't be addressed any other way. And this will not only help you in taking up and this will not only help you in not taking up or taking on more than you're supposed to. It will help you from getting stuck in a place of bearing a burden because some burdens may not be from God. Some may be of my own making. We put them on and don't realize that we did that. We take on things from others that weren't God's will for us to take on. We pick up things that are not His will for us. But they're of our own making. And we put them on and we take them on and we don't even realize that we do that. And therefore, we get stuck and we get overwhelmed in something that we can't get out of. And now I'm stuck and I'm not helping that person I'm supposed to be praying for. And because I'm not praying for them, they're not getting the help that they need either. In the kingdom, as in family, what one does affects others. So, what is the effect of what you're doing and not doing on you? And what's the effect of what you're doing and not doing and caring? What effect might that be having on others? Others that God is saying, I want you to help that person, but you can't do it if you're loaded down by stuff that isn't yours and it's not supposed to be something you're carrying. And you can't tell because you don't know you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You. You are the light of the world. And as the light of the world, You are that light that shines on us. And You shine the light of revelation on us. Things that we don't see, you can make them seen. Things that are in the dark, You can reveal. For the purpose of showing us what we need to see about ourselves and about others. God, I pray for all of us, that You would shine the light of Your revelation on us. Help us, Lord, to understand ourselves. Help us to understand not only others, but ourselves. What is ours and not ours? What is our responsibility and not our responsibility? Because if it's not our responsibility, it's something that somebody else needs to be taking up for Your purposes and Your glory. Father, just shine on us and reveal the things to us that we need to see, not only for our sake, but for the sake of those that You want to use us to touch. And Lord, help us to remember to come to You and line things up with You. Lord, I thank You that we don't need to be afraid in coming to You with who we are. Because You know us better than we know ourselves. And so we don't have to be afraid. Because as we are, with all of our good and our bad points, You love us just the same. You died for us just the same. You already know it. It doesn't make any sense to hide it from You. Lord, help us to put our fear aside and line our lives up with You. And give us the courage to be people that don't walk in fear with one another so we can be real and transparent. We can learn about ourselves. We can set boundaries and do this as we work with one another because You've put us in community, in family with one another. so we could be mirrors for one another, reflecting back to one another who we are, what works, what doesn't, so we can grow and improve and do this in a loving, accepting community. I thank you that you've given us that. Help us, Lord, to do this so that we not only maintain that, but grow in that. And I thank you that it's all possible through you. And we just give you all the praise and the glory, and we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me read to you the questions that I posted on our church email list, and these are for your reflection. First question is, has someone ever trespassed on your property? And how did you feel, and how did you respond to that? The second is, looking back at that situation, what could have been done differently to improve the situation and the outcome? Next question is, have you ever trespassed on someone else's property? And was your trespassing accidental or deliberate? And how did the owner treat you? And again, looking back at that situation, what could you have done differently to improve the situation and the outcome? And lastly, how well do you know your church family? And what can you do to know them better and to improve your relationship with them? Let me pray again, and we will transition into the worship part of our time together. So, Father, I just pray that you would just receive our praise, that you would just receive our worship of you, our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, the one that not only is that light of revelation to us, but is the God who took away our sin so that we can stand in your presence blameless because of what you did. And you did this for us individually as you did it for the world. I thank you, God, that you love us so much that you did that. And so, God, we now want to just lift up our voices in praise to you for what you've done for us, not only what you did 2,000 years ago in dying for us, but what you do in our lives and with us every moment of every day. Lord, you just continue to show yourself over and over again in your love and how good you are in our lives and in our situations. And we just give you all the praise and the glory for what you do, because what you do flows out of who you are. And who you are is love. And we just give our love back to you now as we worship. Just receive our worship, Father. Receive our hearts. Receive our love, God. You are the great and awesome God, and we love you. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.